There's a phenomenon that is sweeping the world right now. The last 18 months to 2 years, this thing has cropped up and it feels brand new, but everybody is latching onto it. Everybody is grabbing it. Everybody is talking about it. And what I'm talking about is artificial intelligence, AI. Everybody is adding it to their product. I mean, everybody. You can, when you go use Grammarly now, it's like, oh, use AI to see if your grammar is even better than what it could have been. We'll rewrite it for you. And I got a friend that's a teacher that said, I went and put all of the stuff I need to teach my kids into ChatGPT, and it spit out a lesson plan for the entire year. I don't even have to think about it anymore. I even had a preacher friend tell me that he had a wedding that he needed to do, and he didn't want to write. I mean, he wanted to see if ChatGPT could write a wedding ceremony. So he just went to it and said, I need a traditional wedding ceremony. And it spit something out. And he was like, this is pretty good, but I need it to have the ring ceremony in it. And I was like, oh, here, let me fix that for you. Oh, I need it to have a sand ceremony in it. Oh, let me spit that out for you. And he just kept asking questions until he got every single thing that he needed in that wedding ceremony with only having to ask a couple of questions. It's wild. He did that wedding on Friday. It went well. It was fine. It was good. Those kids are married. Like, it's good stuff. But we have this thing where it feels like we can go to it. We can ask for whatever we want. I like to play with the image generation stuff where you go in and like, I want to see Captain Picard riding a Tyrannosaurus Rex on the Titanic right before it hits the iceberg. And it's like, here you go. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes it comes out really weird. Like, it makes the Titanic a T-Rex instead. I don't know. But you can do it, and if you keep asking the right questions, you're going to get better and better results. Talking about Captain Picard, it reminds me of Star Trek, especially Next Generation. We used to watch that every weekday night as we sat down to supper. We had our dining room table was here, the couch was here, and the TV was just high enough that you could see over it, so we'd turn on Star Trek every evening for supper. And when you watch Captain Picard walk over to the wall and say, tea, Earl Grey, hot, and it would make some little sparks, and all of a sudden it was there. He just had to ask for it. I always wanted that ability. I wanted that power to just get anything I asked for, anything I wanted. All I had to do was just tell the computer, tell somebody something. This morning, I want to talk to you about the fact that even though it's something I've always wanted, it's something that we've actually always had. We're going through a series right now called Salt and Light, where we are looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which is in the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and it's the longest continuous passage of Jesus talking in the entire Bible. Like, if you've got one of those red letter Bibles where it puts all of Jesus's words in red, it's those three chapters in Matthew that are just solid red. You're just like, oh, okay. It's got some like he saids in there that are in black, but the rest of it's just red. And you're like, oh man, that's awesome. And it's this sermon that he's going through, and he teaches about so many important things. Last week we took a break from this series as we had a Serve Together Sunday where we went out in the community and we went to different places and we used our acts of service as worship. But this week we're going to jump back in. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 7. A couple weeks ago, Chris started the chapter off looking at the idea that we need to not be so judgmental. And we need to not be using that magnifying glass to find the flaws in everybody else and to highlight what's going on there, but that we need to look at the whole person. If you didn't get a chance to hear that, you should go check out our podcast. It's on jointheventure.com or anywhere that you get your podcast from, and you can listen to that, and really the whole series. It's a lot of good stuff in there. But today we're going to be in chapter 7, and before we get there, I need to ask you a question. It's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but I want you to think about it. And that is, do you believe that God really listens to your prayers? And I mean really, really listens to your prayers. Do you believe that God, the creator of the universe, the sustainer of all creation and life, wants to hear what you have to say? Wants to hear from you. There are over 7 billion people in the world. And some of them are really, really important people. Like they've got the keys that unlock the buttons that could blow up the entire world kind of people. You know, world leaders and world changers. There are people who are famous. There are people who are almost famous for being almost famous. Like there are so many people in the world. Does God want to hear from you? Does he want to hear from me? That's a big question. Does God want to hear from you? A lot of times when I ask questions like that, I kind of leave it hanging and I start preaching and I go through, but I don't want to hold anybody in suspense on this one right now because I want you to know, yes. Yes, he wants to hear from you. He wants to hear about your everyday. He wants to hear about your wants and your desires and your wishes. He wants to hear when things go well, and he wants to hear when things are going bad. He wants to hear every piece of it because God cares about you. And even though there are over 7 billion people in the world, you are important to him. Even though there are people who hold the keys to life itself on this planet, he's not too busy to hear from you. He's not preoccupied. He wants to talk to you. He wants you to talk to him. We're going to go into the Bible now, but I want you to remember where we are. This is Jesus talking to a group of people. He's up on the side of a mount, and he's just sharing, and he's laying down truth bomb after truth bomb, and he's telling them how they should live and how they should act and how they should interact. And then in verse 7, he lays this down. And if you guys, we're going to turn in the Bible to Matthew 7. And if you don't have a Bible today, we've got a shelf over here right by the Connection Hub that has some Bibles on it. Those are good Bibles that you can grab. You can use that to look it up. If you don't have a good Bible at home, take that one with you. If you do have a good Bible at home, but you want a different one, that's okay still. Like, we want it to be a gift for you. Take it home, read it, dig into it. It's important. You can also use your phone. There's a Bible app or the Bible Gateway app, and it's also going to be up on the screen. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus says this. He says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to one who knocks, the door will be opened." Friends, God wants to hear from you. He does. He wants to hear from you, and Jesus opens that door right there. He says, just come and ask. Come and seek. Come and knock on the door, and I want to give it to you. I want to let you find it. I want to open that door for you. Think about your life and if it was like that. What if your job was like that? What if you could go to your boss, and you open the knock on his door, and he opens it up, and he says, "Hey, what you doing here today?" And you're like, "Oh man, I just wanted to come by." He's like, "All right, well, cool. Well, ask whatever you want. Seek however you want. Knock in whatever you want, and then we'll give it to you." And you're like, "All right, well, I want to work 1 hour a year and get paid 10 times what I'm getting paid now." And they're like, "Cool, you're good. Let's go." We'd all do it, right? We'd all do it. What if you're not at your job? What if you just go to Walmart and you walk into Walmart and the greeter is there and walk up to you and like, "Hi, how you doing? My name's Brenda. I see that you're here today. I just want you to know today we're having a special. All you got to do is ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you." And you're going to look at Brenda and you're like, "All right, well, cool. Let me go ahead and get all the Lego in the store, the biggest TV you got, a gallon-sized bucket of gummy bears shipped to me every day for the next rest of my life. And on top of that, I'll go ahead and take all the cash in the register too." And they're just like, "Cool, here you go." That would be awesome, right? We would lose our minds. We wouldn't know what to do. And that's what it feels like Jesus is saying here. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It sounds like Jesus is offering a free pass to have whatever we want. But I don't think he's actually offering everything our heart desires here. But you know what he is doing? He's giving us the permission to ask for it. He's giving us the permission to ask, because when we ask, you know what we're doing? We're talking to God. When we ask, we're reaching out and we're saying, God, I know that you're good and that you're big and you're wise and you're powerful and you can do anything and you have access to everything. And we're admitting that we need help. But we're talking to God, and God loves to hear from us. God loves to hear from us, and he wants to answer our prayers. He absolutely wants to answer our prayers. Jesus isn't, of course, offering a lifetime supply of gummy bears to anybody that prays for him, although I recommend trying. But what he's stating is simple. I want to hear from you, and I want to give you good things. Let's look at the next verse. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Throughout Scripture, God, when he talks about his interaction with us, we'll often use that image of a father. Says, this is what a good father does. And I love that Jesus is just kind of laying it out there. He's like, come on, guys. Y'all don't even know your right hand from your left hand, but you know better than when your kid asks for bread to give him a rock. He's just like, I feel like he's got this sarcastic air to him at this point that a lot of people don't believe Jesus had, but I certainly do. I mean, how else are you going to talk about the plank in somebody else's eye like he did last week? But there's this idea right here that he's like, you know better than that. Now, I'm going to be honest. If I had the opportunity and I had a rock that looked like a loaf of bread and there was a pile of rolls sitting on a plate, I might sneak it in there and be like, here you go, guys, because that's funny. And maybe that makes me a bad dad. That's fine. But it would be funny, but not because my kid was hungry. And only if I knew they wouldn't bite it and break their teeth, because I don't want that noise. But I wouldn't give them a snake when they ask for a fish. I know that because I've asked my wife. She won't let me have a snake. But Jesus says, if you are evil and you have evil thoughts and you're a human being and you fail and you are not the perfect almighty God and you know how to do good things for the people around you, can't you expect that he's going to do it better? Can't you expect that he wants to give you good things? He wants to give you what he desires. Because here's the thing, guys. God loves to hear from us. God wants you to come to him. God wants you to ask him. And he knows if he starts giving you bad stuff when you ask for good stuff, you're not going to do it. But God loves to hear from us. He wants to hear from you daily. He wants to hear from you all the time. And because of that, then we know that not only does he want to hear from us, but he wants to answer our prayers. He does. He wants to give you those good things. And I could spend all kinds of time talking about prayers and about how great prayers are and how prayers have been answered constantly and over again. I'm just going to share a couple of quick examples of times that he has absolutely blown my mind. Because it's not just in big things. Sometimes it's in little things. This week we were at Man Camp. It was a beautiful week, high of 85, breeze blowing off the river all the way until Friday. Friday, about lunchtime, it started to rain, and somehow it got hotter after it rained. And I'm sitting there watching the kids get ready for their last performance. They're rehearsing, they're doing their thing, and I'm sitting there, I'm just like, and I'm done. And I'm like, God, please, if a breeze could just come through that door and hit me, it would be beautiful. And like, no sooner did the words were out of my mouth than a breeze was coming. I was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. I should have said something bigger. Just lower the temperature, take the humidity, whatever. But I just asked for a breeze and I got it. But another time at camp when I was in high school, there was a young lady who had just gotten a scholarship to play softball. And we were out playing kickball or baseball or something on the baseball field, and she tripped on third base and broke her ankle. Straight broke it. Went to the hospital. They had to put her in a boot. They took x-rays. They saw her foot was broken. They had to wait for the swelling to go down, so they sent her back to camp because she didn't want to go home. She just wanted to go back to camp because that's how awesome camp is for all of you that haven't been to camp this year. You got to wait till next year now, but it's okay. But they sent her back to camp, and all of the camp staff and leaders and counselors and dean and everybody went, and they prayed for this young lady. And they prayed for her, and they prayed for healing for her because she was getting ready to go and lose her scholarship because she couldn't play. And she went to bed that night, like we all did. And she got up the next morning, and her foot did not hurt at all. And she went back to the doctor to go and get her cast put on, and she's telling them, it doesn't hurt. And they're like, you crazy. You must just be in shock or something. But they did another x-ray, and the break that they had seen 24 hours previously was gone. Because God wants to hear us, and God wants to answer our prayers. I've got a really good friend that he and his wife tried for years to get pregnant. They wanted to have a kid so bad that, and they went through all the things with all the doctors so that when they finally did get pregnant, they were watching them. They were watching that baby, watching her development, watching what's going on. And just a couple of months in, during an ultrasound, they saw that she had a hole in her heart. And they kept an eye on it. For 5 or 6 months, they kept an eye on it. And they're telling them, as soon as this baby is born, the first thing that we're going to have to do is go do open heart surgery. Immediately. Because right now, your heart is helping, but once she's out, she's got to do it on her own, and she can't. And we prayed. And we prayed, and they prayed, and their churches prayed, and our churches prayed, and their parents prayed, and their parents' churches prayed. And when that little girl was born, she was perfect. And the doctors were like, we have no idea, because they had seen it 15 times. The hole was there, and then it just wasn't. And it's not just in these big miraculous healings. God works like this in our prayers all the time. You're sitting there and your family can't make ends meet. You're sitting there and there's a thing that needs to happen and you just don't have the money for it. And you start praying and somebody turns up and says, hey, here's exactly the money that you need to the penny that I didn't have any idea that you needed, but it's extra and I don't need it, so you have it. And you're like, what? And I know that's true. I've seen it so many times in my life. And I could do this. I could keep giving you story after story after story. We could sit here all week. But you got to see it with your own eyes to believe it. Right, Adia? That was the theme of our camp last week. She was there. She was the first one I saw. I see you two, Braden and Cal. And Emery. I don't know where Emery is. Whatever. But I could do it, but you've got to see it. You've got to experience it. That God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to be there, and He wants to hear from you, and He wants to answer your prayers, and He wants to tell you all of the good things and give you all of the good things. And some of you right now are going, yeah, I know, I got you. Yeah, Patrick, let's go. And some of you are going, but sometimes that's not how it works. Sometimes you pray and you pray and you pray and you pray. And that's not how it works. You don't get what you asked for. You don't find what you were seeking. The door doesn't get opened, and you're sitting there going, what happened? So many times I've sat with people that I love while someone that they love is in the other room sick and dying, and they don't want it and they're not ready for it and they're praying as hard as they can against it, but still that happens. Brought another friend from college that he and his wife were expecting. And not long into it, they found out that there was something going on very similar to what was happening with little Allie in this other story, but they didn't even know, well, would he even make it to full term? And they prayed, and they prayed, and we prayed, and everybody prayed just as hard as we did for the other baby, but it was just a couple of days after he was born that we got the heartbreakingly sad news that he didn't make it. And I know that his dad was a godly man. We went to Bible college together. He's done ministry. He's still back in ministry. But he had a minute there where it was like, why? I thought you said to ask and it would be given. I thought you said to seek and you will find, to knock and the door will be opened. Why? And this is a question that you're going to battle with. This question that I have battled with and I have struggled with. And thankfully, there are people who are smarter than me. People who have studied more than me. People who have talked to other people more than me. And sometimes they'll sit down and they'll write a book. And there's this one book, Prayer, Finding the Truth, or Finding the Heart's True Home by Richard Foster, where he gives some suggestions, three suggestions for why prayers sometimes seem to go unanswered. The first one is that some of our prayers are just not in our best interest. Oh, that's weird. On my screen, that's upside down, and it was messing with my head. Some of our prayers are not in our best interest. Some of the things that we pray for, God looks at us and goes, you don't need that. You know why God is never going to give you a lifetime supply of gummy bears? Because nobody needs that in their life. You don't need to eat a gallon of gummy bears a day. I promise it will not be good for you. That's why it doesn't work. But it's not just in that. People will pray for things that are like, this is 100%. If I don't get this job, then I'm worthless. If I don't get this person to be in a relationship with me, then I'm no good. And they trust in these other things and they pray for these things that God just looks at you and goes, nah, no. Before Ashley and I got together, Ashley's my wife. She's beautiful and wonderful, and I love her. But before we got together, I was in a long relationship with a girl that I really thought I was going to spend the rest of my life with until 1 year on my birthday, she said, Patrick, we probably shouldn't get married because I'm not in love with you anymore. And I cried. And I prayed and I screamed at God and make this work, fix this thing. It was all I wanted. And I mean, for months, it was all I did. It's all I could do. I was broken. And the whole time, God was sitting up there going, buddy, you don't even know what I've got in store for you. You don't even know what you are asking right now. Because around the corner, in just a little bit, you're going to be okay. And not only are you going to be okay, but you're going to meet a lady that is going to make you a better person, that is going to challenge you and be a better partner for you than you could have ever imagined. But if God had answered my prayer and done what I wanted, that boy right there just trying to run away wouldn't even be here. And I can't imagine it being different. Sometimes our prayers are not in our best interest. Sometimes our heart's desire is not what will be good for us. Because if we got that job, if we got that relationship, if we got that raise, it would get pulled. We would be pulled further and further away from God and who He is and what He wants for us. Sometimes when we think our prayers haven't been answered, it's really God's grace and mercy coming in and saying, I see the big picture. I know what to really do here. Trust me. Sometimes, though, our prayers are answered and we just miss it. Sometimes our prayers are answered and we miss it because we were looking for a different answer. We were looking for a different response. We were looking for a different outcome. For example, maybe you're here today and it's been a while since you were in church. Or you're here today and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling down and you're feeling depressed and you're feeling lost. And you just said, I'm going to go and I'm going to come and I'm going to listen to this guy ramble on about Jesus and see if I can get something from it. And you're expecting a miraculous come in and take away your loneliness so that when you go home today, you feel completely different and you're no longer depressed and you're no longer broken and you're no longer afraid and you're no longer alone. And you might go home and go, well, that didn't work. But the whole time, people here were reaching out and saying, hey, how you doing? Oh, that's the wrong hand. My name is Patrick. Let's go. Hey, how's it going? You want to go out and grab some lunch with us? You should come to our small group. You should come back next week. You should come and do these things. And people are trying to help you not be alone. But you're waiting for that absolute miracle to happen. God works in all kinds of ways. And you got to trust him when he does that. Because sometimes he answers our prayers and we just ignore it. We just don't see it. But sometimes it's our sin that hinders our prayers. Sometimes we pray and our sin gets in the way. We pray to get rid of the addiction that is pulling us down and pulling us away from God. And we finish up with whatever a session of it is that we've done. And we're like, God, please, I don't want to do this anymore. Take this away from me. Make me better. Heal me. Make me whole. But then the very next time that that thing is offered, we're like, ah, yeah, I'll do that. I'll just pray again. It'll be fine. And we go through a cycle over and over again. And our sin just keeps holding us back. And it's a lot like this idea that if you imagine a ball, like a basketball or a soccer ball or even a football. No, that's not a ball. It's an egg. But you imagine a ball and somebody just took a knife and stabbed a knife in it. And it's just a big hole. And you're like, I'm going to fill this ball up with air. And you keep pumping and nothing happens. The ball never is playable again because there's a big hole in it. That's what sin does to us when we're praying to God. He's pouring out good things. He's saying, here, please take it. Let me help you. And we're just letting it pour out the other side over and over again. And so we got to patch that up first. But that's a prayer he wants to answer too. He wants to patch it up for you. He wants to fill you up. And in the book of James, James writes in chapter 4, he says, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's that hole. Like you're not getting it because you've got sin in your life. And on the flip side of that, if you want to know that not having sin will help you out, in the next chapter he says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. He says, get right with me and what you ask for you will receive if it's good for you, if it's a good thing. Sometimes we live our life and we feel like God isn't hearing us. Like our prayers simply aren't being answered. But in those moments, I need you to hear what a very wise 14-year-old said to me this week. We were having a conversation about something different. And One of the students that was at camp was going on and on and asking these questions. He kept asking questions like, "What? Why? But 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 why?" And nothing that we could say was answering the why. And this little girl said, "Hold on. What if it's just because God is so big and so infinite and so powerful that we just can't understand what he can understand? And I about lost it, much like I'm doing right now. And I let her know. I said, that's the most profound thing I've ever heard a 13-year-old say. I know she's 14, and I'm sorry. But that's what I told her. She didn't even correct me. It was fine. But she said, maybe we just don't understand what God understands. The prophet Isaiah put it this way. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So here's the challenge on that. Don't call them unanswered prayers. When you pray for something and you don't get what you expect, don't call it an unanswered prayer. Just be faithful enough to trust that God knows what he's up to. That God knows what he's doing. And keep fighting that fight of faith to trust him. Because God is too big and too infinite for us to understand. There's one last little point that I want to tack on to this. If you can believe that. If you can know that. If you can own that. That God wants you to ask him for stuff. That God wants you to seek for stuff. That God wants you to knock and that door be opened. Then I'm going to say, don't be afraid to ask for miraculous things. Don't be afraid to pray for big, bold, giant things that only God can do. Because I heard this in a sermon one time, and it changed the way I pray, and it changed the way that I think about God. And that was this. What you pray for directly reflects what you believe about God. If you only pray for your meals and traveling mercies, whatever those are, then you think you've got a little bitty God. Pray big, bold, powerful, miraculous, only God can do in prayers. And then trust that whatever the answer is, that God knows best. That's how you ask and receive. That's how you seek and find. That's how you knock and the door opens. So you got to be willing to ask first, to seek first, and to knock first. Pray with me.